Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time. Welcome to the Friday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack, and hey, you know what Friday means.
Start spreading the news.
Oh, Schomburg Stu is here. Stu, how are you?
Oh, well, I'm calming down now after a most exciting Cubs St. Louis battle this afternoon, so it's good to fly to W.
There you go. So, all right, if you'd like to call into the podcast, talk to Stu or I, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up there on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so look for something popping up there sometime tomorrow morning. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. Oh, you know, hey, you went all the way over there. Go ahead and like that, right? What the heck? So don't forget, though, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, sadly, we still don't have Stu on Twitter, but feel free to reach out to me at Burke Time, and I can pass any messages that you have for Stu along. So there you go. So, yeah, the only game today during the day in Major League Baseball was the Cardinals at the Cubs, and didn't start off well. It looked like it was going to go down as an easy win for St. Louis, but their lack of pitching, kind of like the Cubs' lack of pitching, caught up to them, and fortunately the Cubs had the better bullpen and were able to come back and get an 8-5 win. So that was a pretty exciting game.
And there was that memorable at-bat by Rizzo. I don't know if you saw that one or not. The 14-pitch at-bat?
Yeah. Yes, I did. I did manage to see that one, and then yeah, he homered. Did that tie the game, or did it cut the lead to one? I don't remember.
That tied the game.
Did it?
That tied the game, 5-5. Right.
So yeah, but you know, neither starter was around very long. The Cardinals starter, Olavito lasted a third of an inning longer than the Cubs starter Stewart. But Stewart gave up all the runs. The Cubs bullpen managed to shut everything down, even though I think Thompson gave up a couple hits that let runners score, but they were charged to Stewart. After that, the bullpen was really good for the Cubs. The Cardinals, not so much.
No, the bullpen has been a big surprise for the Cubs this season with these unheralded pitchers like Vance coming up, and no one ever expected him to do as well as he's done, and several other ones that also have stepped it up quite nicely for the Cubs. We'll see if it lasts.
Yeah, well, I believe Tapia was just named relief pitcher of the week or month or something. So yeah, the way it ended up going down. Nance picked up the win. It was his first win of the year. Tapia got a hold, if you use that in your fantasy categories, and Kimbrough got his 16th save. While on the other side, it was Cabrera who took the loss for the Cardinals. So,
I noticed,
you know, that's how that worked out.
Did you see when Peterson hit his double in the broke the tie?
Yes.
My question to you was this, as a baseball purist, shouldn't he have been at third base instead of second?
You know, probably, but you could tell when he hit it, he stood at home plate and watched it, which doesn't surprise me in today's game that happens quite a bit. So,
and that could have been that could have turned out to be an important play, because if he were on third instead of second, the infield would have had to draw in, and then the next player hit a ground ball. It probably would have gone through. So to me,
unfortunately,
that's not playing good baseball when you do something like that.
No, and you know, unfortunately, that happens a lot now in Major League Baseball. I can't remember what game I happened to see, but it may have just been one of the games that the MLB Network was cutting into during their MLB Tonight show. But a guy hit a ball that he thought was out, and he watched it. And I just remembered it was Odubel Herrera of the Phillies. And he watched it, and it hit the wall, and he should have had a triple easily, but he ended up on second. So
that's not as bad as the other player who hit a home run but didn't touch first base. I'm sure you saw that one.
Well, you know, there was a minor leaguer who missed home that same day. So it happened twice in the same day.
I didn't know that one. That's truly an embarrassment for a supposedly professional ball player to do something like that.
Yeah, you know. Well, and the weird part about it is, like, the guy missed home, the minor leaguer missed home because he was showboating, and that was just stupidity. The major leaguer has a first base coach. What was this guy looking at?
Yeah, and it's hard to believe that his own coach would miss him, not touching first base.
But he did, so. You know, and then, you know, to just wrap up the fantasy stuff for the game here, if you have Dylan Carlson, which I actually do in one of my fantasy leagues, he had the Cardinals' only extra base hit, a double. The Cubs had multiple extra base hits. Peterson had a fourth-inning home run and a double later, the double we were just talking about. Al Contreras hit a triple. I don't know how many teams he's on. Rizzo hit a home run in the sixth in that very long at bat, and then Wilson Contreras accounted for the Cubs' final run with a solo shot in the eighth inning. So hopefully you had those guys in your fantasy lineups. So,
well, I hope you didn't have Baez in your fantasy lineup because he was absolutely horrific today.
Yeah, no, I don't have him on any teams. I believe Contreras is the only Cub I ended up with this year. You know, they're difficult to get in our league because our leagues are very Chicago-based, so they go very quickly, and, you know, it's just tough to get them.
And how are you doing this year in your fantasy leagues?
You know, I'm doing okay. I'm fourth in one and fifth in the other out of 20 teams, and eight teams make the playoffs. So right now I'm doing okay. So,
well, you have a good chance of making the playoffs then.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, the tough part this year is, you know, you deal with so many injuries that you really need to get to your lineup every day to check it. You know, and like that's what's killing us. Like Mr. Fantasy and I share a money league team, so that's totally separate, even though that team is doing pretty well as well. But it's a weekly league, and it never seems to fail us that our guys get hurt on Monday, and then we get no points for them for the rest of the week because you got to wait till next Sunday to make the change.
Yeah, I'm not sure if we addressed this at all. Maybe we did a little bit last time, but I can't understand what's causing the spate of injuries throughout the league, especially in the hamstring area.
Yeah, I heard Buck Showalter this morning discuss this on the MLB Central show. And he believes, or he kind of mentioned that he believes it's something they're doing in training. Because, you know, we didn't have a lot of these problems before, but now they're popping up. So,
yeah, I don't know what they're doing in training. You'd think it would be just the opposite. You'd think that with all the modern facilities they have to work on your strengthening your legs and everything else to prevent these things from happening, it's working out just the opposite.
So, yeah, well, you know, and what I think also adds to it is, you know, and I've mentioned this a million times on here, you know, this is all these guys do growing up. You're a baseball player. You know, like I've mentioned before, you know, like when I grew up, you know, we played baseball in the summer, and then it was basketball, and then we played football, you know, or like, you know, for team sports, we would wrestle. So, you know, we had different seasons. now when you're a kid, you no longer have different seasons. You're a baseball player and you train for baseball year round, or you're a football player and you train for baseball year round. And like a girl I work with, her son is a very good basketball player and he made an AAU basketball team. So now his whole life is basketball. And he had been playing other sports, but now it looks like he's going to have to make that decision of, is he a basketball player or does he want to be a multiple sport athlete? So imagine the wear and tear by the time, I mean, you're a teenager, your body's not even fully developed, and they've got you preparing as a baseball player and training as a baseball player. Imagine how hard that is on your body.
It's got to be quite difficult, yeah. And you might know something about this. I'm just thinking about what we were talking about, what you were mentioning. Do the other sports, they use different parts of their muscles when they compete in a different sport. For example, do the basketball players use certain muscles more so than a baseball player or a football player or a baseball player or even any other sport, hockey, for example?
You know, I'm sure they do. I mean, obviously the one thing they all have in common is legs. You know, you have to have strong legs to do any of that stuff. So, you know, that training, I would guess, is probably pretty similar. You know, I don't know for a fact, but I would think it would be, you know, because you're looking for strong legs. I mean, maybe you're developing certain muscle groups differently for each sport. But other than that, you know, that's where things kind of change. You know, because obviously in football, you basically, especially if you're a lineman, you just want to be as strong as you can. You're not too worried right. about flexibility or anything like that. But, you know, the other sports depend a little more on flexibility, so you tailor your workouts to that. And, you know, the different things. And obviously pitchers work out differently than hitters, you know, because it's a different scenario there. So, you know, yeah, just kind of depending on – you know, where you are, but I would go guess the one thing in common that they all have is everybody's trying to build a strong legs and core.
Yeah, you would think so. And do you think that a hamstring injury is more prevalent in baseball or basketball?
Well, you know, the way things are going now, it seems to be baseball. I don't see too many hamstring injuries in the NBA. You know, you can't really count Anthony Davis because he hurts every part of his body. So,
yeah,
you know,
right.
you're just kind of used to him being hurt. He's just one of those guys. But
a lot of the hamstring injuries occur when a runner is trying to beat out an infield hit.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, a lot of that happens, you know, you're trying to go from high gear to higher gear and the muscle just doesn't have it. So, you know, like I've seen sprinters do that in, you know, like 100-yard or 100-meter or 200-meter races where they're, you know, really trying to push and put it away, and it gives out. So.
Yeah, as they say, injuries are part of any sport, but you would like to think that somewhere along the line they would come up with something that would prevent so many of these things happening.
Yeah, you know, you do have to wonder if somebody's looking into it or, you know, because like if I'm a personal trainer and I work with one of these guys, man, I want to keep him healthy so he keeps giving me his business.
Yeah,
so,
right.
You know, I would be doing the best I could to try to figure something out. But, yeah, it seems like, you know, especially in baseball, you know, we've had a rash of injuries this year. You know, it used to be, you know, maybe two a day was what you would see. But now, I mean, you look at the transaction page and it's just, it's nuts with the amount of guys that, you know, are going on IL or coming off IL or, you know, whatever, wherever they're going.
Yeah, look what happened to the White Sox the other day. One of their better players.
God, unbelievable, man. they've had three season, basically season-ending injuries to really key players, and somehow they're still hanging in.
Yeah, and there is speculation that both Jimenez and Roberts might be back in September, for example, but I've heard that one before.
Yeah, technically Jimenez is eligible to come off the DL in September, and I would assume Robert is too because they were hurt right along the same timeline. But, yeah, you've got to wonder, is that enough time to get ready?
That's the important issue. That's right. I was just going to mention that. Maybe they're physically eligible to compete now. They're healed. But how long is it going to take them to get into baseball shape?
Yeah. So, yeah, that's the difficult part is, and obviously they'll end up on a rehab assignment, to help get ready. But, who knows?
Yeah, it's a shame. That all these things are happening, so many serious injuries to so many teams, and you never want to see that happen. You want to see all the teams at full strength and competing on an equal basis without these injuries happening.
So, yeah, it it's just been ridiculous with the way it's went.
Yeah, it's a horrible thing. And, well, by the way, I do have to say one thing, and I had two wrestling matches when I was at the University of Illinois in 1955 that I didn't do very well, but I came out of both of those losses without being injured.
Yeah, I never got hurt wrestling. Well, amateurly. So.
Oh, when you compete on an amateur basis, you never got hurt. There. No pulled muscles, no strains, nothing.
No, luckily, I didn't even get, like a lot of guys will get you get cross-faced, you get a bloody nose. I never even managed to get that. Of course, I wasn't very good. I lost much more than I won, but at least I didn't get hurt.
Yeah, that's important. Well, neither one of us got hurt. But, of course, you wrestled a lot more than I did in college and high school. I only wrestled in college and only had two matches.
Yeah, no, I wrestled 7th, 8th, 9th, and 10th grade, and then 11th grade, I magically made the basketball team, so I didn't play there either. But at least I was on the team. So
on the team. You were a power forward, right?
Well, center actually. Even though I wasn't tall, I was a center. So.
How could you dunk?
Oh God, no. So yeah, no, I couldn't. I couldn't even touch the rim until I was out of high school. I was just the big guy who bumped people around. So,
and you would come in and get two or three fouls quickly?
Yeah, I would play 2 or 3 minutes a game, and my job was, like, if they had a leading scorer who was a big man, my job was basically to beat him up. So I know all the little tricks of the trade on how to throw the elbow when nobody's looking or where to throw that forearm into the kidney. And, of course, that helped later on when I moved into my other athletic endeavor of becoming a professional wrestler because I always already had these things down.
Yeah, and it's amazing that even now these players that play a rough style of play in basketball, for example, get away with quite a bit of it? Or are the referees more attuned to looking for these kind of things happening?
You know, I think they're a little more cognizant of it, but there are still plenty of guys who know how to get away with it. Just the other day in one of the playoff games, Joel Embiid elbowed a guy right in the face, and the ref bought it as being accidental.
And it wasn't.
Yeah, I didn't think it was, but hey, as long as the ref buys it.
Yeah, it can get rough. Basketball can get very physical, especially under the boards, with the flying elbows, and you got guys who are 6'7", 6'8", vying for the ball, so it can be kind of rough.
Yeah, and unfortunately now there are too many guys who like to go for that low blow. You know, you see that a lot, much more now than you used to. So.
Yeah, I guess some players have that reputation, which is well-founded in many instances.
So, yeah, you know, well, there was, God, I don't remember which player it was who actually developed his shooting style so he would kick the guy right in between the legs while he was taking his jump shot. And then this way, you know, you can't call anything on him. It's a shooting motion.
He never got charged for a call for an offensive call when he did that.
No.
And got away with it.
No, I believe they did adjust that rule to allow refs to call him on that if they wanted to, but I don't know if they ever did.
Yeah, unless it's pretty flagrant, you don't see too many charges called anymore. I mean, I've seen some, yes, but there could be so many more called during the course of a game that aren't.
Yeah, no, the one thing I would love to see is I would love to see a ref call traveling.
Well, there wouldn't be a game
That's the one.
Right? The only problem is there wouldn't be a basketball game.
Just one. Yeah, just call it once. You don't have to call it every time. Just call it one time. That's all I want. So.
I didn't see many games this season, but I did see one or two traveling calls. But
yeah,
you know, there
could be
a lot more
than that. Oh, yeah, there should be a ton of them. You know, I see guys change pivot feet or shuffle their feet while they're standing there with the basketball all the time.
And no calls made.
Yeah, no calls at all. So.
Yeah, that's the NBA for you.
Yeah.
That reminds me
of
one of those amusing Harlem Globetrotter moves in which it looks like there's a travel and it goes on and on and on, and finally the guy just running around the court with the ball without dribbling.
Yes, I attended a Globetrotter game once. I had a very good time. It's very good live. So I'm sure they still are.
They were fun.
Yeah.
In the early days of the NBA, it goes way, way back, there was actually an exhibition series between, I think it was the Minneapolis Lakers at the time and the Harlem Globetrotters, and it was quite a competitive series.
A lot of people forget though that the Globetrotters actually can play basketball. You look at the shots they make. You don't think they've been practicing like those half court hook shots for how long? You know how hard that is to do.
There were some talented players. The problem is that if you see one of their games against the Washington Generals, you've seen all their games. You go back next year.
Unfortunately,
the same routines repeated over and over again.
You know, it's very much, you know, basically it's very much how pro wrestling used to be when they didn't have everything go up on the internet. They did the same matches around the country because people hadn't seen them. So,
yeah, they can't do that anymore now. That's one thing that business has changed. They have to change the finish because after the match is over with, it's there on the internet, or maybe the match will be on YouTube, and they can't do the same one over and over again. Like I mentioned to you, what happened with San Martino and Roger, the same finish up and down the East Coast.
Oh, yeah.
They did it, but there was no internet then, so it was an easy thing to accomplish.
Yeah, no, well, you know, I remember, you know, Flair and Race would do 60-minute draws all during the week, and they would do the same match.
Yeah, same exact match, that's right. My thought when I found out about this, you'd think that wrestler like Bobo Brazil would think, hey, he tried this on me before a couple of days ago. He tapped me in the back, and I thought I won the match and raised my hand, and I should know better by now, but he never seemed to learn.
No, well, you know, you're not supposed to know it already happened, so.
Yeah, exactly right. Exactly right.
Yeah, that's that. But you know, hey, if you stay up late tonight, you can watch one of those special editions of AEW Dynamite.
They keep getting bumped
for the NBA playoffs. So.
And it's been hurting them, and I understand it's been hurting them in the amount of viewers, way down from what they normally get.
Yeah, their ratings are way down. Well, you know, they're on here, you know, they're on at 9 o'clock. So, you know, that puts them on at 11 on the East Coast. It's Friday night. You know, nobody's, you know, you're either, if you're young, you're out. If you're me and you, you're asleep or trying to go to sleep.
Yeah, well, this is quite a drop in their attendance, and I have not watched one of those 9 o'clock shows.
You know, I watched 2 weeks ago. I watched like the first 30 minutes before I was too tired. I had to go to bed.
Nothing special going on anyway, right? I would imagine that.
Unfortunately, it's all the same now. You know, we've talked about it before. It's just, you know, you work from high spot to high spot, and then the finish comes out of nowhere.
Yeah. You would think that, I don't know, it seems like it's lost its luster. I think it was doing pretty well when he first started, but now it seems like just a routine show with nothing major going on.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think the one advantage they have is their matches are a little more exciting than WWE's because of, you know, their guys are, I guess you'd call them, bigger risk takers. But, you know, you wonder how long that'll last. And, you know, that's what, you know, everybody thinks you need. They don't think you can really go out there and tell a story anymore, and you have to go high spot to high spot.
Yeah, there has been a little blood in some of their matches, too, which is something you don't see in WWE anymore.
Yeah, no, they're okay with the blading and a lot of the stuff. You know, you get more, yeah, I think you get, you know, swearing. Obviously, they're careful what swear words they use, but you get swearing there and, you know.
Yeah, I was taken aback the first time I heard him swearing a little bit and saying, how do they get away with it on national TV?
Yeah, I was surprised, too. It'll be interesting to see now that, you know, everybody, they're all, you know, both companies are preparing to go back out on the road, how they do.
Yeah, well, they have some of those huge crowds that, especially with WWE, who garnered tremendous crowds when they did some of their house shows. Will they be able to get back to that groove again? And will it be profitable one more time?
Yeah, because, you know, you have to wonder, you know, I mean, you know, WWE's been cutting money left and right, and apparently I read today they're going to release some more wrestlers to save some more money. So they're, you know, they're really cutting the bottom line. But, you know, you got to be profitable for them.
Well, there were some rumors that Vince McMahon was considering selling the company, but I think that was just a rumor.
Yeah, I would be shocked. You know, I always figured he was, you know, leaving it to the kids.
Right, exactly.
So, I don't think. You know, that, and you got to wonder if he'll actually get out of the business before he passes away.
Yeah, he's not a youngster. What is he, in his 70s? Is he in his 70s? I mean, or close to it?
Yeah, he's got to be, I would guess, late 70s by now. I don't know. I can look here really quick. Let me fire up Dan's favorite search engine, and I can see what we get on him.
See if your internet is working efficiently tonight.
Yeah, they have him as 75. He'll be 76 in August.
Hey, compared to me, he's a youngster.
Yeah. So. But yeah, so we'll see. Honestly, I would be really surprised if he decides to walk away. He just doesn't seem like the type.
Yeah, I don't think so. Have I missed any exciting results that I wouldn't like in some tag team tournament you've been following, the fantasy tag team tournament?
I'm sure there were some. I haven't kept up with it the last couple days. I just, you know, I kind of burnt out when, you know, I because some of the teams they put in, I was just kind of like, come on, there were so many better, older teams that you could have got in here, and I just sometimes don't pay attention.
Yeah, and when you tell that it's a young base who's making the results or making the selections, because they're probably not much in the way of history when it comes to pro wrestling, and just go with the current trend right now in the last few years, and they don't go any further back to see if maybe there are some better teams available then.
Yeah, and the weird part is, like, the guys who put it together are older. You know, they're in their 40s. So, you know, they know wrestling. They know about wrestling. You know, because I had talked to them both. I know them personally, but for whatever reason, they just didn't, you know, and I made a couple suggestions to them about some older teams, but yeah, nothing, you know, I mean, well, the first round is still going on because they included a boatload of teams. So we'll see if some of them pop up, but I haven't seen any lately. Like, here's today's matches are the FBI, the old ECW tag team, against TNA, which was Test and Albert. And then the other match was Doug Furness and Phil LaFon against Triple X.
That first team, if I remember correctly, did very well in Japan, didn't they? Or didn't they wrestle quite a bit in Japan?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They were big porn stars in Japan. I know they ended up in WCW, but WCW didn't really know what to do with them at the time, which was no surprise. But yeah, they were hugely over in Japan.
It doesn't look like
they're going anywhere because they're getting beat pretty handily right now. So
I remember Stan Hansen and who was one of the Freebirds team very successfully in Japan, but when they came to WCW, they didn't do very well. I'm trying to think of Terry Gordy. They were way over in Japan, and a very formidable team against stiff opposition, but they didn't do very well here. And, of course, that's work, and obviously, but it's hard to imagine very many teams competing on equal terms with them.
Yeah, well, remember that, I think Steve Williams and Terry Gordy had the same problem when they came over. They were dominant in Japan, but for whatever reason, when they came back here, and obviously it's booking, but, you know, it just, they just weren't handled right, so.
Yeah, I guess it all depends on how good the booker is, and I think Dusty Rhodes did some booking, and then some of his matches were so, his finishes were so bad, they used to call him the Dusty Finish.
Yeah, they still call
winner,
it that.
You know, a disqualification or some screw job ending, and he was known for those.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, that's okay every once in a while, but, you know, you start to do it too much, and it just, nobody becomes interested in your product. It's like, yeah, okay, great, nobody's going to win. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I always think of a hardcore fan. Would they yell and scream at the heel, or would they yell more if there was a screw job ending?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, and like what a lot of, especially on the indie scene, what a lot of guys forget, and a lot of bookers even forget, is it's okay to lose a match as long as you have a good match.
Right, exactly.
You know,
right.
if you go out there and give the fans just a fantastic match, by the time they come back, you know, by the time your next show comes around and they come back to check you out, they're probably not going to remember who won. All they're going to do is remember that they saw a good match, and that's all you want.
That's exactly right. And unfortunately, I guess the trend doesn't happen anymore, though, does it? Either on the,
no, well,
the
you
normal,
know, the problem is,
normal
you know,
feds are on the indie scene.
When WWE does it, everybody on the indie scene does it. I mean, you know, every indie show starts with an interview. Why? Because WWE does.
Yeah, I always wonder why there would be one organization out there that wouldn't try to emulate them and would do a different format, but it doesn't seem to be happening no matter where you look.
Well, you know, and that's what AEW learned, and I give them credit for it. When they were going head-to-head with NXT, they started with a match because they knew NXT was going to start with a promo. So that helped them garner the ratings because people tune in to watch matches. You know, you'll sit through the promo if there's not another match going on. But if you've got the opportunity to click over and watch another match, well, you're going to do that.
And
so at least,
Right? They also made sure the match wouldn't get over in 4 or 5 minutes. That the opening match last 10, 15 minutes at least.
So, yeah, no, they, you know, they were very, very smart about that. And I give Tony Khan a lot of credit for that. You know, realizing that that was the key to picking up those ratings points was starting with a match.
Every once in a while, the WWE will fool you and they'll start out with a match without an interview, but it doesn't happen very often.
Yeah, no, it's rare that you actually turn it on and you get a match. So.
Yeah, I object to not only that, but we talked before the length it takes for the match to start, the long entrances, the long ring entrances, and before the match starts, you're wasting 10, 15 minutes alone with that. And it's hard to sustain an audience when you keep doing that over and over again.
Yeah, well, and then the sad part is sometimes the entrances take longer than the match.
Yeah. That's right. That could take, the match will be over in 2 or 3 minutes, but the entrances take 10.
Yeah. So, you know, and that is the one thing I like now where both they're working, you know, where both they're running shows from is it's a short walk to the ring. So the entrances don't take as long now because the guys get there quicker.
Yeah, that is one consolation. Yeah, the business has really changed over the years.
Yeah, it's odd how little actual wrestling you see anymore. And I do wonder if, you know, because when you're signed by WWE, unless you're a real name, you know, a guy like John Morrison or somebody like that who's coming back, they send you to training because you have to learn what they call the WWE style.
Yeah, that's right.
And my guess is they're not teaching wrestling holds.
No, they're form of ring psychology. I don't know, but or the way the story of the match, but they're not doing a very good job. When you first started wrestling on the independent scene, did every wrestler come into music when they made their introductions?
No. It used to be, you know, you were just announced, and only the top guys got music.
Yeah.
But yeah, that really started to change when WCW stopped doing squash matches. You know, and everything became competitive because then everybody got music. Everybody got an announcement. Everybody got music.
Yeah, and I always say in the old days when I used to watch out of the old Dumont Network on 90, the main events were 95% of the time or more were squash matches. The two main events started at 10:30. One match was 1 fall 60. The other was 2 out of 360. So at 10 to 11. Believe it or not, the folks are on their way home. Talk about squash matches.
Yeah, no, you know, and like a lot of those squash matches, especially I think they were Georgia Championship Wrestling at the time. The guys who were getting beat were really good workers, so those matches were actually really good.
Yeah, they did a good job of putting the top name over. They told a good story, and they got some offense in too. Those jobbers, they were skillful enough to get some offense in before they did the job, which is what you're looking for. Although, it wasn't much of an offense. Obviously, it was a couple of minutes compared to what the top name was doing. But at least he got something in there.
Yeah, you know, and then you know, even on the off occasion, you know, due to something odd happening, they even won. I remember Mike Jackson, who Gordon Sully always described as the Alabama Junior Heavyweight Champion. I remember him just kind of winning a match. So, But yeah, you know, you rarely see that. I know NXT has done that a time or two with some guys, one guy and one girl. But I know I saw the girl on what are they on now? Wednesday night, and she went from winning a match, I don't know how long ago it was, to she got squashed in about 2 minutes on Wednesday night. So I guess they're not going anywhere with that storyline.
I guess they tried her one time, and I guess maybe she didn't do the good enough match to warrant getting squashed.
I don't know. Yeah, so yeah, she just got basically totally wiped out. Didn't even get any offense in. So, no.
Some of the squash matches I've seen in person were pretty amusing. I may have mentioned I was at Marigold and I saw one of my favorite heels, Killer Kowalski, go against a jobber. And the match lasted 8 minutes. And the only offense the jobber did for the entire 8 minutes was one ineffectual forearm smash. That was it. That was his offense before he lost to the knee drop. The amusing thing, by the way, was this. He had some friends watching the match. And so after he lost, he came to, was talking to his friends, who were only about a row from where I was, and the friends were saying, "What happened to you in that match?" And he said, yeah. Captain Character, he said, "Kowalski is a monster."
Yeah. Well, I'm glad he kept in character.
Yeah,
so,
he did.
Of course,
yeah.
Back then, you know, that was the thing to do. You were kind of known for staying in character. So.
Yeah, and of course, Kowalski was trained in part by Luther, so he was technically sound too, which a lot of people don't know.
Yeah, I actually caught yesterday the biography on the Dynamite Kid, Tom Billington. So,
yeah,
and,
I haven't watched it yet, but he's in a wheelchair now, correct?
Actually, he's dead now. But
he died.
Wasn't he in a wheelchair
for a long time after his career was over with?
Yeah, he was quite the tool bag with roughing guys up. He believed in that too. So.
Oh, he made them pay their dues. You mean, and when they wrestled, he wrestled the
jobber. Like Mick Foley told the story. He teamed against the Bulldogs in WWE when he was doing jobs. He was Jack Foley, and the Dynamite Kid dislocated his jaw.
Wow. There's such a thing as wrestling stiff and being a jerk in the ring.
Yeah. So yeah, and unfortunately, his life really, when you watch it, his life really goes downhill. So.
Yeah. Did you see the one I just watched the one today about Grizzly Smith, and boy, what a sleazebag he was.
Oh, and yeah, to be fair, you just corrected me. It's not the biography. It's Dark Side of the Ring. That's what these were. So I confused it because I was watching the Shawn Michaels biography while I was riding the bike at the gym today. So different channel. I did see the Grizzly Smith one, and yeah, he was not a good guy.
No, I guess I've never saw him wrestle. I don't think he wrestled. Maybe stayed in one territory, basically. I guess he was a good worker, but as a human being, he left, let's put it this way, a lot to be desired.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and, you know, you can see a lot of these. They rerun them all the time. So, you know, if you're interested in looking them up, you know, Dark Side of the Ring airs on Vice. And then the biographies have been airing on A&E. And then I also saw one on another. They also showed one on another channel. I don't remember which one it was, though. Something that's owned by that conglomerate. So you can definitely find
these,
them if you're.
Sometimes these bios are more entertaining than this wrestling show.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, like the Dark Sides of the Ring are good because it's not manipulated by WWE. You know, the biographies are manipulated by WWE, so you're only going to get what they want to tell you.
Yeah, there was an interesting one, I guess it was last year, about the murder of Dino Bravo in Montreal.
Yeah.
unsolved for 30 years. No one, I don't think anybody is ever going to solve it either.
Yeah, no, I don't see that happening. You know, and like some of the ones were interesting from last year. You know, like the Herb Abrams one was really interesting because the UWF spent a lot of time here in the Chicago area, so that one was really interesting. This year hasn't been as good.
Not as interesting. Yeah, Herb Abrams had everything going for him. I mean, he had a lot of top talent, really some terrific talent in the UWF, but he just threw it all away by snorting a little too much of the profits, I guess.
Well, that and then, you know, he became enamored with being a character. You know, and that's the first thing that's going to kill your promotion. If you think you're the biggest star in your promotion's in trouble.
Yeah, he did a lot of the interviews. That's right, now that I remember. What a flamboyant kind of interview that he would do as a character, not the actual, not being an actual owner, but being a character on TV. And that didn't go over well.
I believe he also ended up wrestling or being involved in a match with a manager or something like that. So,
yeah, I don't remember that. I know that towards the end his checks were bouncing and a lot of the wrestlers were not very happy.
Yeah, and you know, that's another thing so far I'll give Tony Khan credit for. He's only had really short, limited appearances in AEW, and I don't even think he's talked on the mic. He did start Impact off last night with an interview with Scott D'Amore because they have that angle going where Kenny Omega has the Impact title. So,
and he's going to wrestle. Well, isn't there a pay-per-view at Impact tomorrow night?
You know, I don't know if it's a pay-per-view or if they're offering it online or something. But, yeah, they've got something going on, and he's wrestling Moose. And a lot of people believe he's going to lose because apparently he's quite banged up. So,
yeah, that would be something if he did the job for Moose, who is not a bad athlete. I mean, the guy's in great shape, but I'm not sure how skilled he is as a wrestler.
Yeah, well, he's improved since his Ring of Honor days. But, yeah, he's still a little bit awkward in the ring, but we'll see. I mean, at least if he loses to him, you know, he's losing to a monster. The guy's a big dude. So
yeah, and he is in good shape. I mean, he's got a nice physique. I mean, he's not fat. He looks like he's in tip-top physical condition.
Yeah, and he is a former professional football player. So
right. I assume that he went under a different name in Ring of Honor.
No, he was Moose.
Oh, really? Wow. That's very unusual. Yeah. By today's standards, that's very unusual when a wrestler can...
Well, you know, Ring of Honor doesn't copyright your name, so you can take it with you.
Yeah, unlike WWE, when every wrestler coming in gets a new name.
Yeah, you get something. You know, the only guy they didn't do that to was that EC3 for whatever reason. They botched his debut and stuff too, and now he's in Ring of Honor. So
yeah, they didn't. He's hurt, isn't he? Hurt? I thought he was hurt.
Indeed. Actually, I just read he's coming back to do whatever they got going on now. So he'll be back whenever their next show is.
Yeah, he was formerly in WWE before he became EC3. I guess when they re-signed him, they did nothing with the guy at all.
Yeah, no, you know, he came in and actually beat John Moxley in a match. Well, what was his name? Dean Ambrose. But apparently Vince didn't like him, and once you're stuck in that, you're done.
Yeah, I didn't know that he beat him. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
I'm sure it was a fluke ending.
Well, Ambrose was on his way out the door, so it was... You know, his contract was coming up, and they knew he wasn't going to re-sign, so it wasn't that big a deal.
And he had used that John Moxley name on the independent circuit before becoming Dean Ambrose, I believe.
Yeah, that was his name before signing with WWE. there's some really interesting clips of him. You can come across him with like pink hair and just some really wild looks. So.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of wrestlers do that. And boy, that, is it worth that kind of a change in terms of their hair and their style and everything else? And
yeah, you know, I guess some guys think it is, you know. So, but all right, well, let's get some picks here from you. Now, 2 weeks ago when you and I were here, you know, obviously we weren't here last week. You nailed all four of your picks, so you're now 37-33. So you're on a roll here. Let's see if you can keep it going. Let's just start off with the simple one tonight. Since the Cubs played, we'll write that game off. But we've got the White Sox are at Detroit. Lucas Giolito, who has had some struggles, starts for the White Sox, and it's Tarek Skubal for the Tigers. Who wins this game?
I'm going to say that the Giolito bounces back, and I'm going to give the White Sox the Duke for tonight.
All right, there you go. All right, and then obviously we know the Cubs won today. We got to see the very exciting game. There's two games left in the series. Tomorrow it's John Gant against Kyle Hendricks, and then Sunday it's Carlos Martinez for the Cardinals. And the Cubs are running out Mr. Undecided. How does the rest of the series go? You got the Cubs sweeping, or do we have a split?
I think I don't see the Cubs sweeping. I think they'll win one and lose one over the weekend. I'm not sure. Hendricks has not impressed me recently, and I suppose I shouldn't go for a Cub win tomorrow, but I'm going to go on the line and say that he'll win tomorrow night, but the Cubs will lose on Sunday.
All right, and then we have there we go. We have two NBA games scheduled for tonight. We have the Philadelphia 76ers at the Atlanta Hawks. That series is tied 1-1. And then we have the Phoenix Suns at the Denver Nuggets. Phoenix actually leads that series 2-0. So let's go with something similar to what we did 2 weeks ago. How many teams score over 100 and let's go 14.5 points?
Well, for sure in the Phoenix Denver game. No question about that.
Okay. Both teams or just one? Because that would give you two.
No, I go both teams. I go with both teams in that one.
So, and then you got the Philadelphia Atlanta to round out your total. You're going to add teams or you think just those two out west?
I think Philadelphia's going to win the game as an upset. I guess maybe it's an upset. I'm not sure how you, since it's 1-1, but I'd say just one team out of the two will go over that number.
Three teams over 114.5. All right. And then we'll wrap it up with the NHL. What do we have going on? I believe it's the conference semifinals or just the semifinals? Might just be the semifinals, so the conference finals. Game one is Sunday. We have the New York Islanders at the Tampa Bay Lightning. Just nice and easy, plain and simple. Who wins the game?
I go for Tampa.
All right, so we will lock these all in and see if your role continues and you can keep cashing those checks. Oh, so.
Or as a wrestling heel once said, I'm happy breaking necks and cashing checks. I'm trying to remember what team said that one.
Yeah, who? I don't remember who said that one. I've heard it before, but I don't remember.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, I could have been a WCW team, but I'm not. I couldn't say for certain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I mean, it sounds like something you'd attribute to the Road Warriors, but I don't believe that's what they used.
No.
So, you know.
It was another heel team.
Yeah. So, yeah, did you, you know, since we're on the downside here of the podcast, did you see that former Bear, who's now a Chief, Kyle Long, got injured already? He needs knee surgery?
Yeah. Yeah, I suppose I was mildly amused when I saw that. I said, boy, it didn't take very long, did it, for him to be injured on
I feel really bad for him because he's just been through so many injuries, but... Yeah, it gets to the point where it does almost become humorous because it's just like, what's next?
And don't you think this is it, then? He's not going to try to come back again after this latest injury, which appears to be fairly serious.
Yeah. Well, you know, my guess is, you know, he'll play this year because I think he wants to win a Super Bowl. That's why he signed with the Chiefs. But, yeah, I think, you know, again, it's one of those deals where if they win the Super Bowl, he's probably done. If they don't and he's feeling okay, I wouldn't be surprised if he comes back again next year to try to get that win.
Is there any kind of a time frame on the injury that occurred to him? I mean, is it going to threaten his season, or will he be able to be back in time for the regular season to start?
You know, I saw Andy Reid mention that he believes he'll be back by the start of the regular season. So we'll have, and again, anything like this, you know, it goes with your recovery because they're saying it doesn't appear that there's any ligament damage. So it may be a pretty simple repair, and that'll take, you know, a month or a month and a half to get him back and going, and then he's got to get in shape. You know, he's got to get in game shape. So it's quite possible that he may just make it.
Yeah, and of course, what happens after the first game or two? Is he going to be injured again?
Yeah, well, you know, that's the thing you've always got to wonder because, you know, he's had that issue throughout his career for whatever reason. You know, some guys are just like that, but... Yeah, you know, I mean, I hope not, because when he's healthy, he's a very good player.
Yeah, you hope for the best for him. You hope that he recovers from his injury and manages to start the season, and we'll have a definite shot at the Super Bowl, of course.
Oh, yeah, I mean, he picked, obviously a quality team to go to get a Super Bowl ring. I mean, you got to think Kansas City is the favorite in the AFC, you know, even though there are some, you know, some quality teams there, I still think they look like the best team.
Yeah, they look like the team to beat in the AFC. Who do you like in the NFC
it's kind of tough. I think probably, you know, Tampa, since they won it last year, is probably right there at the top. I would have Green Bay competing with them if Aaron Rodgers was their quarterback, but with what's going on, who knows? And we'll see how those teams out west shake out. I mean, they have some good teams out there, but they're going to not be pulled off, so... we'll see. Hey, look at that. It's time for Stu and I to start the weekend. All right, Stu and I are rolling out here. I hope you have a good Friday and a happy weekend. We're getting all back on Monday at 4:30. While we're on the radio, go to sportsradio.com. Let's get a new blog pop up tomorrow. The link takes you to the Facebook page. So get that on the radio, give them a like. But don't forget the Twitter feed, which is at sportsradio. I am also on Twitter at sportsradio. Thank you very much for doing that. That's greatly appreciated. But if you missed out, tune in.com is the link. So head on over there. You can listen anytime you want.